Music from Solveig Henderson. The song is All the Way to Heaven. Good morning to you now, 19 and a half minutes after the hour on this Monday morning here along the Broken Road. Joining us from Garden Valley, Texas, Dr. Don Clark, who is, he's a biochemist. And why he wastes his time on us when he has such important things to do, I have no idea. Don, good morning to you.
Well, good morning. And no, it's a pleasure being here. It's always a pleasure, being here and talking about various subjects, about faith, whatever we can come up with.
We're going to touch on GMO foods again today, and here to help us is Heike Joe Dodge. Heike is with us, and Heike is in the Little Falls area, almost in East Dakota. You're just a little bit beyond our southern border, Heike.
Good morning.
Good morning. Heike is a busy mom and a professional lady and a small farmer. And was it half marathon? You're going to run a marathon soon, aren't you?
I'm planning to do the Walker half marathon, the Mankato half marathon. Uh-huh. Those are in September and October. And hopefully, if I'm injury free in March, I'm going to do the Little Rock, Arkansas marathon.
Rock, Arkansas. You're going to go down there to hurt yourself. I mean, to run and suffer. Yep. with all those Arkansanians there. Okay.
Yep.
I didn't realize that Little Rock had that big a draw. For runners.
Well, the draw for this particular marathon is that they give the biggest bling. The medals for most marathons are, you know, bigger than a silver dollar, but you know, they're a small medal.
Well, and you get a T-shirt too, I think.
Well, yeah, and sometimes you get a really nice running shirt. But the one in Arkansas in Little Rock has the completer's medal. No matter whether you win the race or you're the last one across the finish line, you get a completion medal that's about the size of a dinner plate.
Wow.
I'm only going to do one marathon in my life, I'm going to do the one that gives the biggest bling.
I think so. I think that. What are you going to do with that when you bring it home, though?
Oh, I'm going to wear it for at least a week.
It's a deal. Yeah.
You could eat a non-GMO food on it.
That's
there
true.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you for the help in that segue. David, I appreciate that. Yeah,
that's what I'm here for.
Don brought us an article to our attention, and you'll find it over at personalliberty.com. And we've talked about GMO foods before, Don, but this article really it brings up a lot of the things we've already covered, but really hits hard on the political front, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it talks about lobbying, and of course there's all kinds of lobby groups, but. This one is, lobbies are federal government in particular, and, local governments, if there's any threat that there might be a labeling issue.
Well, the article gives us the impression that there's a whole industry to prevent information on GMO food from coming to the surface and becoming known by the public generally. Collusion between the government and Monsanto in particular. Are there some other big players in this?
Well, I mean, DuPont, of course, makes GMO products, and the cereal companies are also involved because they use the grains from GMO-modified foods. And so you get all these folks, together, and it's very difficult to get, clean or good information.
Well, it makes for a pretty large concentration of money there. And, of course, money talks in our culture. And it's being used freely, I guess, to prevent information about, I want to say the true nature. Are you convinced that the science on GMO food says this is unhealthy?
Yes, I am. I mean, there's a lot of different, studies that have been done. Some are anecdotal, but not only the GMO foods, but for example, like glyphosate or Roundup ready crops, for example, where Roundup is sprayed quite heavily, then that winds up being in the food. Very difficult to eliminate. And then the BT, for example, BT corn, which has been linked to bee colony collapse because the BT is a is a gene that is an insecticide, and it affects you know, bees, because the bees will ingest it when they go get the honey. I mean, go get the pollen to make honey, and then you know, pretty soon your bee colony has collapsed because mm-hmm. you've got a biological insecticide essentially being ingested by the bees. So there's sufficient science behind this to really warrant some major concerns.
Well, that suggests certainly environmental damage, and as important as bees are to farmers, you'd think that the farming industry would be up in arms about this as well. What's their position? Do you have a feel for that? Or is there a farming industry?
Well, there is a farming industry, but I think the farming industry has been kind of broken down into two types of folks, or two types of businesses. One is the small farmers, which are being squeezed out of business for a number of reasons, and then you have these mega farms that where they're farming thousands, if not thousands of acres at a time, and are getting subsidies from the government. So they have lobby groups themselves. And it's the mega farms that love this stuff because they can it costs them less money overall if they don't have to spray as often, for example, with pesticides, and if they can use a chemical agent to control the weeds, then it helps, on the labor side. So,
do you suppose that these party, these people, the chemical companies and the mega farmers and even the government are aware of and credit the bad reports, the reports of harm from GMO? Do they believe that stuff, or do they fight it on a scientific basis? I guess do they fight the science, or is this about dollars? It feels like there's a runaway train here, and the bridge is out up ahead, but we're going too fast, and there's nothing that can be done to stop it now.
Monsanto, for example, funds their own in quote independent research group to counteract research that's coming, whether it be from Europe.
Well, see, you've hit on something there. You said that their purpose apparently is to counteract the other research rather than to get to the bottom of this thing.
Well, of course, because if they got to the bottom of it, then they would have to take their products off the market, and there's so much money invested and so much propaganda out there,
so much momentum.
And it would be very, very difficult to just cut off the money stream, if you will, mm-hmm. So quickly. So,
well, Heike, you kind of see this from a slightly different angle because you're a mom and you got young kids at home, and you raise some of your own food. And I know you're really conscious about this whole GMO food issue, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I am, and actually, a question popped into my mind for Don: if something is labeled organic, does that mean that it is definitely not GMO, or could it be a GMO product that has then been raised in an organic field?
Oh yeah, no. If it's labeled certified organic, it mm-hmm. is a non-GMO product.
Okay, that's reassuring, because I've become so skeptical of everybody and everything that I thought, it could be junk seed, but raised in a clean field. So I'm glad to have that clarified for me, because go ahead.
Well, there's another term called natural. Now, natural does not mean non-GMO. That you see a lot, like natural foods, for example, does mm-hmm. not mean that they're using non-GMO products. But
the word essentially means nothing in particular.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It just means, we're trying our best to be
marketing
clean,
deal.
But we're not using non-GMO products. Mm-hmm. So it has to be organic certified, and there's a complete program that a farmer needs to go through. And one of them, for example, is that if you've sprayed Roundup, you can't be certified for 3 years because it hangs around.
Certified by who, though? Who's qualified And who has, I guess, well, it's the marketing savvy. It's a marketing thing, isn't it? I mean, somebody has to be on the up and up and enforce some standards here. Who is that?
Well, again, it's the government. It's an interesting thing. It's the government who certifies you as organic, and it's tough regulations in order to be certified as organic. It's kind of like the milk industry, and you're trying to find raw milk. You know, the government is doing all that they can to prevent raw milk from coming on the market. And
government's a strange animal. I remember a radio station local here trying to locate a new broadcast tower. And the project was delayed for years, almost a decade, because the FCC had an argument with the FAA. I mean, there are two branches of the government working at odds.
Agencies contradict each other. Mm-hmm. You know, one wants one thing and the other wants another thing. But to be certified, it's quite a process. But you can't use GMO grain, for example, and you can't use Roundup, you can't use pesticides. At least they have to be. Everything that you use has to be certified in order.
And how do you know that it's certified? It could say organic. It could have the word organic on it, but by itself, that doesn't guarantee that it's organic. What is the certification? Is there a government seal on the label?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that. If there is, but the term you would have to have the term, for example, organic certified.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some cleaning up in the industry. 10, 15 years ago, you could slap the word organic on anything, and there wasn't any checking system. But now my understanding is that it is getting better, and that you can't use the word organic inappropriately. But like you had said earlier, the word natural, or you know, the other day I was looking at artificial syrups. I mean, I know maple syrup, if it says real maple syrup, it's supposed to be real maple syrup. And I was looking for an alternative that cost a little less but didn't have so much sugar in it. And I found a couple of bottles that said no high fructose corn syrup. And I thought, oh, great. What the heck did they make it out of? Sugar beet sugar? So I flipped it over, and the first or second ingredient said fructose syrup or corn syrup. And I thought, what is the difference? I don't know the difference. But on the big front label in great big letters, it said no high fructose corn syrup. So either there's a difference or there was a big fat lie.
Well, there's a difference.
Is one worse than the other, or are they all just the same, and it's a just, you know, wording that's different?
Right.
I bet you got a couple volumes on high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, that's another topic for the discussion.
It affects me. One of the questions that Jim was talking about earlier in the email that went around to all of us is, do us geezers have to be concerned about this stuff? And high fructose corn syrup directly affects me, and it makes my stomach upset. So there is a direct effect. I can tell the difference. There's a particular kind of root beer that I have to search high and wide, because it's the one out of a zillion different brands that doesn't use high fructose corn syrup.
And of course, anything with the label corn on it, corn syrup, corn starch, maybe anything that is derived from corn probably comes from GMO corn. Am I right, Don?
Yeah, at least 70 or 80% of all products made of corn comes from genetically modified, and it may be higher. So if it says corn, you're probably eating a GMO product.
Yeah, or soybeans, for that matter.
Yeah, the soys, and now wheat we're getting into. And one of the things we talked about before was super weeds. That is, weeds that have developed a resistance to Roundup. And a new corn is being developed that is both Roundup resistant and 2,4-D herbicide resistant. Now, the 2,4-D is one of the herbicides that was used in that makes up Agent Orange, and you know, Roundup is losing its effect on some weeds because it's been used so much, and so we need to go to yet another herbicide, which is even more dangerous than Roundup.
Well, if you feel the GMO corn and soybeans and GMO products of any kind are at least a potential threat and are unsure of the science and prefer to feed your family organic things, I'd recommend probably a trip to this website. Now, I have problems with this website from all the collateral stuff around it, all the wild headlines and claims and pictures and things. It's kind of an extreme libertarian kind of website. And so I can't vouch for everything that's on it, but they do have some very useful links in terms of lists of organic producers and products to aid you when you're shopping, for looking for particular brand names and particular symbols and so forth to see what is really organic and what is really not. And we'll, of course, include a link to this page in our audio archives along with the post of our conversation this morning with Don. You might find those links very useful. And, of course, the article itself interesting as well. Another item in the article is, Michael Taylor, Deputy Commissioner for Foods for the Food and Drug Administration. Talks about him working for the FDA and then to a law firm and then to Monsanto and then back to the government and then back. This is nothing new in government work. This crony capitalism has been going on forever. I don't know how long the list of former legislators would be who now work for lobby groups and consultants for the government of various kinds. But, Don, this is nothing new, but it strikes me as particularly onerous when it comes to our food supply.
Well, it does, and it's, you know, it's a conflict of interest. You know, the FDA is supposed to be, it was designed to be an independent evaluation group, if you will, for the safety of the products that we consume, whether it be through foods or whether it be through drugs. And to have an individual that comes from the industry that you are actually monitoring and be a part of the FDA reviewing the products that you used to come from the company that you used to work for is not only highly unethical, but it does not protect the consumer at all.
But where do you go? And I'm just trying to approach this from a logical perspective here. If you want somebody with expertise in the field, you go to somebody who's been in the field. Where else would you go?
There's plenty of researchers out there, in you know, with biochemistry experience, that can evaluate these products, or with biological experience, biology experience, plant biology experience. There's plenty of folks out there. Now, if you're trying to manipulate laws and regulations, then you might want to hire a lawyer, for example, from Monsanto to write those laws for you. No. And that's what this fellow has actually done. Mm-hmm. He is, he's a lawyer. And so it is, it's really disturbing. I guess the take-home message is that we can't rely on even our FDA anymore to protect us. And like many things today, the best protection is information. And sometimes you have to search to find sound information.
Well, I'm looking at some of the comments, and there are Facebook conversations tagged on to the end of this article. One commenter from a university, apparently, says if we forced farmers and ranchers to only use the crops and livestock that God gave us, most of the population of the earth would be dead of starvation within a year. Manufacture a crisis and then exploit it to promote a political agenda. Suspicions all around here, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a false statement. I mean, we were doing fine, without all of these modifications. And so it's not, that is the propaganda line, is that, Monsanto's a wonderful company doing wonderful things.
But feeding the masses where we couldn't on our own. We couldn't without them.
Yeah. And so if it's doing such wonderful things, why is it doing everything in its power from suing the poor farmer who planted, natural grain, for example, because his grain is contaminated with the genetically modified grain because of the the pollen coming over and contaminating his crops. Why is Monsanto suing them? I mean, the farmer should be suing Monsanto.
Yeah.
But of course, he doesn't have the resources. Yeah, and why is Monsanto making such an effort at lobbying the FDA to get their way, as well as, shutting down any type of opposition against labeling GMO products? I mean, if it was so safe, why are they doing that?
I have a problem with picking on a small farmer or dairy. For selling raw milk, for example, when this large scale disinformation program is going on, Heike, I think we have a new job for you here. You could head up an anti-GMO consumer advocacy group. How about that?
You
could
do
a newsletter weekly, maybe a website for you.
Yeah another one.
Sure.
See that's the beginning of the problem. And that's where the problem started, the problem that we're looking at and saying, look, this big government has become a monolith, and now it's rewarding its friends and punishing its enemies. And it didn't used to be that way. I don't believe that it was that way. Yeah, there were scandals during the Civil War, and there were people on the take and in a Teapot Dome and all kinds of those individual things, and the railroads got all kinds of free money. Much of that, I think, would not have happened if the people around that during that time had realized that it was going on, or had cared enough to say, no, stop this. I mean, if there were enough that weren't working for the railroad at the time. Whenever we say we should do something about that, that's the beginning of the problem, because that's what somebody else said in the beginning. That's what somebody else said 100 years ago. You know, we had to do something about this, and something was done. And now we're reaping the whirlwind. Now we're saddled with all these progressive ideas that somebody said at one time, let's do something. And we're being done too.
Well, there's not much of a reward in taking the long view here, except altruistically. The real rewards to people come in the short term. In a year, in 5 years, in 10 years. But who's looking out for us 30, 40 years down the line? That's a perpetual problem in government.
Nobody.
Nobody.
And when it comes down to it, there is no altruism. There is no devotion to the other, to the folks out there. Nobody is really concerned all that much because some nameless, faceless Jamokin, three counties away is suffering with whatever. We're concerned primarily with our own feelings. We all listen to the same radio station, WIFFM. What's in it for me?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the nature of us. And now, and I think there are very few people that are ever even thinking about the possibility of the long view. Right now, tonight, we're going to have a school board meeting in our local area. And the legislature this year authorized individual school districts to go ahead and pass referenda without a vote. Pass a bond increase, an increase in taxes onto the population up to a certain dollar amount without asking for a vote. You can go up to $303 per student, just kind of willy-nilly say the six people sitting around the table said, yo, I think it's a good idea. Let's have some more money. Well, the 90% of the money goes to teachers. And, of course, the teachers' union loves this because that's generating, the folks are saying, hey, look what our legislature got you. Are you going to vote for him again? Sure. The problem is us. Like Pogo said years and years and years ago, and Don and I and Jim are old enough to remember Pogo. Do you remember Pogo, Heike? Hello?
No, Dave? I'm sorry. I had my mic muted. I have a scrambling for my
butt. That's an old cart comic strip is what it was.
Sometimes I go on a diatribe. I think Don has drifted off. So he got in the middle of that last punt thing, and he says, oh, man, here he goes again. He's
I was listening.
Up.
I was listening. I just couldn't find my mute button quick enough because, you know, I mute myself when I'm not talking.
In ancient history, 4 or 5 years ago, that was one of the messages I carried around when I was running for public office. I said, folks, we got to stop taking from each other. We've got to realize that we are the problem. And everybody looks around and says, well, maybe he's the problem, but I'm not.
Well, the American system is designed so that we get the kind of government we vote for. And in effect, the result of this is individuals looking out for their own short-term well-being and nobody in charge of the long-term. And maybe that seems to me to be the crux of the problem here. And I'm not sure how we tackle that other than by talking about it and maybe by seeing enough people drop dead around us over time. But then I'm not sure anybody's watching that and keeping the numbers too to see if there is a long-term trend, a health decline as a result of GMO foods. But I tend to trust the science, and Don, I'm with you. I agree with those findings, and it's just really upsetting. I'm not sure what to do about it. It's like we've got handcuffs on here.
Well, we've identified the problem. Don identified the problem last week. We have lost our moral compass, and it is even evident in this particular area. How do we revert back from this? I don't know.
Yeah, well, how do you get your moral compass back?
how do you get can you get one on eBay?
Yeah. I have the answer. Well, I have the answer.
Good. I knew you'd come through, Heike. Okay.
Right. Very, very timely because our pastor had a sermon yesterday about, in general terms, about, you know, get on track, stay on track. If you get off track, get back on track. And how do you do that? You point back to the Bible. The Bible tells us how to behave, and it's not just about how to behave to our neighbor or to our child or to our spouse. It tells us how to behave to the world. This GMO stuff and the non-organic and the Monsanto, all those things point back to sin. We're taking the resources God gave us, and we're screwing with them. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to appreciate the gift he's given to us on loan to him. And if we cherish it and care for it as it is, it's on loan to us, then we won't be screwing up the seeds and screwing up the bees and messing with our bodies, and there'll be less cancer and, you know, there'll be butterflies and rainbows and everything will be good.
Well, yeah. But I think the Bible also makes it plain, or at least it intimates, that view that you just expressed, that we need to get back to those basics, will be a minority view and an ever-decreasing one.
And it will become more difficult because we are countercultural. You know, the path is few and the road is narrow, all that.
Mm-hmm. Don,
I think, in that is certainly we have to look at ourselves and how we are behaving and get back to the Bible. But part of our jobs is, and the government is making it more difficult, but, we are free to talk to other people about our faith and the reasons why we believe and to evangelize and to... disciple. Jesus said, go into all nations and disciple. And so that is our task as Christians, is that part of doing this radio program is a discipleship, program. Mm-hmm. And if we keep our focus on that goal, with God's grace and his mercy, he gives us a promise that if we humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek him again, he will heal our land. Well, our land is contaminated. There's no doubt about that.
And to an extent that most of us don't really realize or understand. I think back to a former pastor of mine. His favorite line was, I read the end of the book and we win.
Well,
I look to that for some small
comfort. If he read the end of the book, he understands that in order, it's not us that's winning. I mean, God's going to win in the end, but there's a lot of persecution and turmoil before you get to the point where Jesus returns.
Well, with respect to GMO foods, I think if there's one thing we can all do, it's maybe to look for that certified organic label on food and buy that and support that arm of the food industry so that it gets some recognition and accumulates some weight, maybe some momentum of its own, so that people will take notice. And again, we'll have this article linked on our post on our BrokenRoadRadio.com website a little bit later today, our conversation with Don here. So you can download it as a podcast. If you missed part of it, listen to the whole thing. Listen to past conversations with Don. And if you happen to link to this article, you'll see other links that will take you to some shopping lists and very helpful things here to help you buy organic if that is your preference. Dr. Don Clark, biochemist and a member of the board at creationmoments.com. I want to refer you to their website, too. There's a link to it on ours. A great resource for biblically sound, how would you describe it, Don? Scientific research, findings, evidence of the creation. Just a great place to go for that kind of information. Don, how's the Creation Moments doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. We were preparing for our 50th anniversary. Yeah. This is our 50th year as either Bioscience News, which is what it started off being. Mm-hmm. So we will be having an event in September, which will celebrate our 50 years.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. And we'll look forward, too, to a conversation with you next Monday. And we'll just wonder what the topic will be. We've covered a lot of ground from creation versus evolution and science versus faith and GMO foods. And we do cover a lot of ground here with Dr. Don. Don, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Music continues on a Broken Road Radio Monday morning from Mary Catherine. Good morning. Welcome to you.